Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
The resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus. It is the most important single event in history, executed by the most important person in history. Now, you may think to yourself, that's hyperbole. I used to think that as well. But if Jesus was a real man, and he was, who really lived a perfect life, and he did, and he came as God to die on a cross, to take the sins of the world upon him, and then rose again to prove that he's that God, then he and this event are the most important things in history. And it's the only thing that will truly change your life. How do you respond? How do you respond to the resurrection of Jesus? Do you come to it with like a, Easter bunnies, eggs, Do you saunter up to it? How do you respond? Because if it's not true, why even waste your time to be here? And it's okay if you're checking things out and trying to figure it out. But if you don't believe it's true at all and want nothing to do with it, I mean, don't come on a Sunday morning. You can sleep in. I'd rather be with you sleeping in if it's not true. But because it's true, it means everything. How do we respond? On the first Easter that ever occurred, 3 days after Jesus was crucified, I want to tell you the story of the three people that responded the way I think we should respond. If you turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 20, or you can watch on the screen, the disciple John, the apostle, years later was recounting, remembering that amazing morning. And he writes this. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb, so she ran. A few things to say about Mary Magdalene. She was a woman Jesus had met 3 years before. She was full of at least seven demons, it says, and she was probably a woman of ill repute. But Jesus pursues her anyway, casts the demons out, sets her free. So for the next 3 years, she follows Jesus unabashedly. Wherever he went, she went. Whatever he did, she wanted to do. And here she is, early on that morning, expecting to go put spices on the body to show her last respects. She wasn't there at the tomb expecting there to be no body. They weren't superstitious and any more so than we are today. They weren't at the tomb counting down from 10, 10, 9, 8. They weren't expecting it. But she goes to pay her last respects. And the stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. So she ran. Now, you may think, well, that's no big deal. But that's a big detail John puts here. Because running was not something you did in that culture. This was not a lifetime culture. They weren't wearing New Balance. They weren't wearing Lululemon, and they didn't have the swoosh on their chest. They weren't worshiping the God of Nike. Well, maybe they did, some of them, but not that God we worship today, right? And she ran. For a person to run in that day was an undignified thing to do. She would have had to hike her skirts and show her leg to run. You didn't do that. You only did that when it was really, really important. And besides that, if he was dead, you wouldn't run. If he was dead, why run? It's like, well, but she ran. And why did she run? Was she afraid? She sad? The body's gone? Someone stole it? We believe she ran because she immediately started to remember everything Jesus had told them while he was alive. I'm going to die and I'm going to rise. And she runs. That's her response to the resurrection of Jesus. And she goes right to Peter. Peter, the guy that's like all of us, denied Jesus three times, kept putting his foot in his mouth. And she goes to him first. And John's writing, so she goes to Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved. He says that about himself. I think it's really great. Like he writes in, and the one the disciple loved, Jesus loved me. As if you could say, by the way, just like John, hey, when I believe in him and have a relationship with him, I'm the one he loves. All of us can say that about ourselves. Well, at any rate, so Peter, here's how they respond. So Peter went out with that other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I love this little detail. John's writing like, you know what? Peter's older than me. He's fatter than me. I outran him. I beat him to the tomb. Years later, you can see them so arguing about that. Beat you to the tomb. And here's what happens. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. Bold Peter goes into the tomb and he sees the linen clothes laying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, John, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and he believed. You got to picture this. If Jesus had somehow shimmied out of the 100 pounds of linen and embalming that he'd been put in, then it would have been all in a disarray, but it wasn't. Or if someone had stolen the body, they wouldn't have unwrapped the body and taken the body with them. They would have taken all of it. But instead, what you see is the linen's perfectly in form, but nobody in it. And the face cloth neatly wrapped off to the side. They saw the resurrection of Jesus, and they believed. They ran. How do you respond? Do you run to the resurrection of Jesus? Do you run to Jesus, or do you saunter? Do you ho-hum walk? I would tell you, because it's true, we must run. There are three reasons we run to Jesus and we run to the resurrection of Jesus. Three reasons. One, because it is true. Two, because the resurrection sets us free from our sin. And three, Jesus and the resurrection sets us free to more. Let me unpack each one of those with our remaining time. Number one, we run to Jesus and the resurrection because he and it are true. The resurrection and Jesus are not some myth and some made-up story. It's not something that we hope happened and we created a religion around. It's true. It's true. N.T. Wright, famous theologian, brilliant scholar, said this: Easter is not an ethereal or esoteric experience. In other words, it's not just some idea. It's about a real Jesus coming out of the real tomb and getting God's real new creation underway. Thus, the truth of the resurrection is not a time to be tame. Easter is about the wild delight of God's creative power. We ought to shout hallelujahs instead of murmuring them. It's not a time to light a single candle. We should give every man, woman, child, cat, dog, and mouse in the place a candle to hold and thus create a real bonfire. Come on, right? It's true. The truth of the resurrection and the apologetics, that means the evidence of the resurrection, are what turned me from an atheist into a follower of Jesus. It's not just by happenstance. Many historians have said there's more evidence that Jesus rose from the dead than that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. Do any of us doubt that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated? Were any of you there? Have any of you seen video evidence of it? Anyone seen a picture of it? No. We just have eyewitness testimony, yet no one doubts it. There is more historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus with hundreds of eyewitnesses than there is of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. It's true. I mean, all atheist scholars agree that the tomb was empty. All agree that nobody found a body and that something amazing and radical happened to cause these scared people to go after Jesus for their lives. They don't know what happened to the body. They claim the disciples stole it. But you have to ask the question, would the disciples steal the body and then die for a lie? What did they have to gain? They were all martyred for their faith. What would they have to gain? Babylon Bee is a funny satirical news outlet. And they made a video recently. It's longer than what I'm going to show you, but they made a satire of how ludicrous it would be for the disciples to steal the body, that they had nothing to gain, that they only did it because it's true. Let's watch this video.
Are we all here? I need 100% participation for this to work.
Yeah, everyone's here. All 12. 11. 11 of us. What's the plan?
Well, as you know, Jesus is dead. But stick with me, okay? Stick with me. I have a plan. We are going to steal his body.
Okay, I'm tracking with you. What's next?
And then we're going to tell the whole world that he rose from the dead.
Oh, you know I'm in.
I love it already.
All right, classic. Then what?
And then we're all going to get brutally murdered.
Wait, come again.
Could you go over that last part real quick?
Oh, what? We get murdered. What's the problem?
I like it. I like it. I mean, don't get me wrong, Pete. I love me a good hoax as much as the next guy, right? Right? What's in it for us? Do we all get riches, fame, and fortune first, right?
No, get this. You're going to be hated.
Hated.
Persecuted and reviled for the rest of your life!
I mean, it's a satire, but it's ludicrous, right? Like, would you die for something you knew was a lie? We run to Jesus and the resurrection first because it's true. Second, we run to Jesus and the resurrection because theologically, it sets us free from our sin. All of us, every one of us in this room was born dead in our sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all broken and need saving. We cannot save ourselves. And we don't focus on our sin to beat ourselves up or tear ourselves down, but in order that we would see the joy of the resurrection, that the resurrection sets us free. See, if Jesus doesn't rise, we're still dead in our sins. I love what Luis Palau said. He said, unless there's Good Friday in your life, there can be no Easter Sunday. Unless we understand the power of the cross, that he died on the cross for our sins, then we can't experience the power of the resurrection. But if he didn't die, he doesn't rise. If he doesn't rise, then his death is meaningless. As Paul says, we're to be pitied more than all human beings if he didn't rise, but he did rise. And it helps, we're set free from our sin. Here's what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2. He said, but God, I love but gods in the scripture, and I love so's, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ Jesus from the dead. It's only by grace that you have been saved. That grace is that word that means unmerited favor, unconditional love that we don't deserve or earn. And it means he'll never ever love us any more than he loves us right now. And he'll never ever love us any less than he loves us right now. He just loves you completely and wants you to step into a relationship with him. And he goes on to say, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ Jesus. When we say yes to Jesus, admit our need, and believe in the resurrection of Jesus, Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe that he rose from the dead, you will be saved. Your sin is gone. I don't care what your past is. I don't care how flawed you are, how broken you are. He sets you free. Tim Keller says this, the truth of the cross and resurrection is the end of the fear of death. When you put your hope in Jesus, death doesn't matter. It has no sting to you anymore. It marks the beginning of Jesus as our true champion, who comes to set us free and make us whole in spite of us. Now you may be thinking, but you don't know how bad I've been. You don't know how many mistakes I've made. You haven't made more than me, and you haven't made more than everyone else in this room. We're all flawed, all in need of a Savior. Just confess with your mouth that he's Lord and believe that he rose from the dead. But again, you still may think, but you just don't know how bad. Let me tell you, one of my favorite characters in the Bible was worse than all of us. He's the thief on the cross. He's the guy that when Jesus was being crucified, he's hanging there on the cross, and he's between two thieves. And one of the guys are murderous thieves, and one of the guys says, Well, if you're really God, you'd raise yourself. If you're really God, you wouldn't even be on this cross. And the other guy responds, shut up. That's in the Greek. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. He's perfect. He's done nothing wrong. And he looks at Jesus as he's hanging on the cross too and implores him, please, would you remember me when you come into your glory, when you come into paradise? And Jesus says, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Can you imagine? Later that day, after he's died, Jesus is risen. He's standing at the pearly gates before the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord says, name, please. They call me the thief. Well, yeah, that's a pretty bad life right there. What? Why should we let you in? Have you ever been to church? Nope. Hate church. Have you ever taught a Bible study? Nope. Do you own a Bible? Nope. Never read it at all. What's your theology on original sin? I have no idea what that means. What's your theology on end times? No clue. What's your theology on Calvinism or Arminianism? No clue. Wow. You really are a loser. What? Why should we let you in? And he says, because the guy on the middle cross who rose from the dead said, I belong with him. That's it. You might think that sounds too easy. Well, it is. It wasn't easy for God, but it's really easy for us. That's why we run to Jesus and the resurrection. Give your life to him. And third, not only are we free from, but it sets us free to more. You're not just saved to get a get out of hell free card. You're not just saved so you can not burn. It's not turn or burn, but you're saved for more. You're saved to experience life, abundant life with him now as we await the not yet. I love what Peter says, the one who denied Jesus three times and writes later in his life, what a God we have, he says, and how fortunate we are to have him, the Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And that future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us in the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. Literally in the original language, that early part is we have a living hope, not a stale hope, not a stagnant hope, not a dead hope, but a current hope, living and powerful right now. That's what we've been promised to, not a perfect life, but a living, hopeful life. I don't care what pain you're going through. I do care about your pain. But whatever you're going through is hard and challenging. God says, I'm with you. I have you. There's victory over that pain now and ultimately in the not yet. Jonathan Edwards, who's son of Tony Evans, his mom died. Tony's wife died last year. He's a pastor in Dallas, Texas. And she died a year or so ago. And Jonathan was at the funeral, at the eulogy, describing his anger with God. It's okay to get angry with God, but expressing his frustration with God for not healing his mom. And as he was expressing his frustration, the Lord spoke to him and told him, hey, I've risen from the dead. I've given you victory. Let's watch what Jonathan says the Lord said to him.
And as I was wrestling with God, he answered. And he said, number one, you don't understand the nature of my victory. Because just because I didn't answer your prayer your way doesn't mean that I haven't already answered your prayer anyway. Because victory was already given to your mom. You don't understand. Because of the victory that I have given you, there was always only two answers to your prayers. Either she was going to be healed or she was going to be healed. Either she was gonna live or she was gonna live. Either she was gonna be with family or she was gonna be with family. Either she was gonna be well taken care of or she was gonna be well taken care of. Victory belongs to me.
That doesn't take our current struggle away. It doesn't take the pain of it away, but it gives us hope to bring hope. Gives us power to bring hope, power. We've been resurrected, invited to be resurrected by Jesus so that we help resurrect others. I love what Martin Luther King Jr. said about Easter. Easter is the day above all days. It surpasses the mystery and marvel of Christmas with all of the glory of the incarnation. It asserts that man's extremity, man's sin and brokenness, is God's opportunity, his opportunity to show off with grace. It affirms that what stops us does not stop God. Easter reminds us of our purpose and meaning in this life, and that death is not the end, but just the beginning of the real life. Yes, that's why we're here. So we run to Jesus in the resurrection because it's true, because it's freedom from our sin and freedom to more. I wanted my friend and teammate, Danielle Gordon, just gave her life to Christ like 8 years ago. And I wanted her to share her story with you, because many of you can relate to her story. I can relate to her story. So would you give a warm venue welcome to Danny Gordon?
Thank you. So I grew up in a house where a relationship with God wasn't something that was talked about. And I always had this longing for him. I knew something was missing, but I couldn't pinpoint what. And distrust, pain, just all these things that were intentionally or unintentionally happened as a result of church, the people of the church. I don't know. That's why faith wasn't really talked about too much. And so going to college, I remember entering college feeling so alone, so uncertain of who I am, why am I here, what's my purpose, what am I doing? I still don't really know what I'm doing now, but it's okay.
Neither do I.
And I remember just feeling so alone, and so it felt so dark. And so I kept trying to run from this darkness, going to what I could get my hands on. So for me, that was drinking, that was sleeping with people, that was experimenting with drugs, that was all these things. And then I felt shame about that darkness. And so I felt like I was running so hard towards something with my head turned back. I didn't know what I was running to. I didn't know what I was running for. I was just running from that. And I remember second semester of college, someone had invited me to go to a church, to try out a church. And at the end of the first service, I remember people were hanging out and talking. And I thought, they must belong. What do I need to do to belong? Mm. So I started going to small groups, started serving, started going to all the church events, which are all good things. But I was looking for, I need to belong, and this is how I'm going to do it. And then I remember at the end of 2017, I was invited to be a part of what was proposed to me as a pilot group. And then I learned that it was kind of an exclusive thing to be invited to be a part of. And then my thought was, why me? Surely if you knew that I'm still doing all those things, still running from that darkness, why did you choose me? And I remember at the end of 2018, I got a fortune cookie. And all it said was relationships, period. And I thought, that's not a fortune. That's just a word. And so I was going into 2018, I thought, that's going to be my word of the year, relationships. And I remember hearing God talk to me about a specific relationship in my life, calling me to end it. And it wasn't an audible voice, but through worship, through prayer, through spending time in the Bible, and just all these different facets, it was pointing to this thing. And so I thought, okay, God, I will do this. And I did it, and I thought, cool, I can check obedient to God off my list of things to be. But then he called me to something more. And then after that, something more and something bigger. And at the end of 2018, my word of the year was obedience. And so my obedience in my relationship, my relationships showed that God is good. When I say yes to him, when I give my yes to him, I can run to him. And I still don't know what I'm doing. That's true. But I know who I'm running to, and I know who I'm running for, and I'm no longer running from.
So good. Amen. Amen. If you're new to the whole God thing, you're going to hear us say a lot that there's none of us that are perfect. We're far from perfect. But we've been promised an abundant life in Jesus for more. And just, we're inviting you to say yes to Jesus because he said yes to you. Just step in, run to him because he's run to you. Receive him as your loving father, and he'll grow us up to more. He'll grow us up to more. So would you guys stand with us? I want to have Danny pray over some of you here, or pray with some of you here this morning. And I think there's a group of us here that maybe have never put our faith in Jesus. You've never said yes to Jesus. And you're sitting here today going, I want to. I know I don't have it all together. I know I'm broken and flawed, but I want to say yes to Jesus. So Danny's just going to pray the prayer right now that she prayed. And I invite you just to pray along with her. If you want to, you can hold your hands out to say yes. It's just kind of say, it's a posture of humility and openness and need. Just hold your hands up if you want to and say, I want more. So Danny, just lead them in this prayer.
Jesus, today I confess that I have sinned against you and your kingdom. I confess that I am in need of you. Thank you for dying on the cross with me in mind and raising from the dead 3 days later for my freedom. Today, I confess that you are my Lord and Savior, and I accept you into my heart. Amen.
Amen. I want to invite ministry teams down. We're going to go into a time of worship now. And I want to invite you also, if you're in that group of people like so many of us, I got prayer earlier, who just can feel tired of running. And maybe you feel like it's not worth it, or feel like you're looking for the more, and like want to encounter more. You feel worn out, feel tired, feel beat down. Come get prayer. Just say, man, I want to experience the more with Jesus. Or maybe you just need to recommit your life. Just say, Jesus, I'm tired of running from you. I believe in you. I know you, but I want to fully give my life. You fully give your life to me. I want to fully give my life to you. That's you. Just come get prayer. And we lean into Jesus, who is the amazing lover of our soul more than anyone else. And just as we sing this song, I just pray that you encounter his love in a fresh way. Encounter his grace and hear him say, I love you. Let's worship.
Day in history, there on a cross they made for sinners, for every curse his blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished, but not the end we could. The earth began to shake, and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made? Oh.
Hey, just on this Easter Sunday, just the voices this morning. Jake, just play behind us. Let's just sing that together. All hail.
That all hail King Jesus. All hail the Lord of heaven and earth. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Savior of the world.
Today and you want to get any information to get connected, go to the Welcome Center. If you want to get connected at all, if you're here for the first time, you're like, man, I want to check out how to get connected. We're not going to take a pint of blood. We're not going to take any money. Just want to help you get connected. Well, maybe a pint of blood. But anyway, we're going to help you get connected. Go out to the Welcome Center. That's a joke. I'm tired. It's the third service. But hey, grab a Bible on the way out. Come back next week for our Blessed Life series. So humor me right before we go. You guys know my brother died 9 years ago, my best friend in the world, one of my best buddies. And he had this thing we did when we were little kids. I hated church when I was a kid, and he would always try to make it fun for me. And on Easter, they would do that thing where, you know, the pastor would say, "He is risen." And everyone else would respond like dead people, "He is risen indeed." You know, like they were monotone, "He is risen indeed." And he started making it funny because he knew that he wanted me to walk with Jesus. So he tried to make it fun. And so they'd say, "He is risen." He'd go, "Indeed." So it's a tradition for me. So join me. I'm going to say he is risen, and I want you to give a big, hearty indeed for my brother Trey, right? He is risen.
Indeed.
One more time, big and loud. He is risen.
Indeed.
Bless you guys. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.